Time now for the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. The Green Country Gardener is brought to you by Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peter's True Value, United Rentals, Overlees Woods Lumber Company, ABS Performance, LPL Painting Company, also Gross Fine Woodworks. Sharpen your shovels, it's time for the Green Country Gardener. Ah, indeed. Shovel sharpened, we're ready to go. How you doing, Larry?
Fine. My Ames orange-handled heavyweight shovel is indeed sharp.
All right. You got a phone call to make and get some advice today. We've got it here handy for you. It's toll-free. It's a free call, 1-800-749-5936, 1-800-749-5936. Well, first of all, you had a good week here, and it's been busy, hasn't it?
Yeah, cutting oak roots with a single jump.
Man, that sounds like a workout.
It's super shovel. No. Oh, boy, we've been busy. Putting in landscaping and drains, sprinkler systems, and mm-hmm. all kinds of cool stuff.
And the weather's been kind of helping you out a little bit.
The weather was very cooperative. You guys did a really good job. And looks like next week, same thing.
Pretty much.
Really good. A little chilly at night.
Yeah, but
it warms up pretty quick.
We put the shovel away at night. Most of us do anyway.
Well, you get up in the morning, it's stuck to the ground.
So, oh, yeah.
So let be it sure fall. To put it in the back of the truck before you leave the job site so it doesn't get stuck to the ground. It is a good time right now. Of course, to plant trees in the landscape, always a good time to do that, except when it's really, really hot. So if you have plans for planting some trees, you might consider getting a wiggle on
mm-hmm.
and perhaps... Now that they're on, we got a little special on them too at the nursery.
Oh, you do?
You can get a little bit off on that, but sometimes up to 30% off on the tree. So, anyway, gotta pick one out and we'll throw it in the ground for you.
There you go.
Not quite. Just throw it in the ground though.
With care.
With care, of course.
After working the soil.
Exactly. Kind of the same thing with shrubs. They can be planted right now also, and also on your shrub beds. Make sure that you have adequate water on your shrubs. It has been a little bit dry lately, and your shrubs don't have as deep a root system as your trees,
mm-hmm.
and you must water them accordingly. So it's been a little bit dry, so you might recharge your sprinkler system perhaps and turn that on, or go out with a hose and water things. I know I've been watering my stuff at home, and it's doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So especially plants like Nandinas and dwarf yaupons, they're a little touchy when it gets dry and cold in the wintertime. So this time of year, we do have some cold fronts that come through. Typically, the cold fronts are preceded by precipitation. But if we're in a dry period, sometimes that doesn't happen. It gets really, really cold all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes a lot of stress on your plants. So it's a good idea to make sure they're well watered. Now, you can ensure that your watering is done properly by applying some mulch to the plants, too. Mm-hmm. Mulch helps stabilize the moisture content in the soil. And it does help stabilize the temperature as well. So your trees and shrubs will do a whole lot better if you do have some mulch on the ground. So do that.
Thank you very much.
As far as what else we do in the garden right now, it's time to do some pruning on your trees.
Mm-hmm.
Good time. The leaves are gone on them. I knew this last week or week before. The leaves are probably in turley.
Well, yeah, that wind kind of helped.
Or would it be in Copan? I wanted it to, depending on which way the wind was going.
Oh, yeah.
That was a howler, man.
Ooh, 70 miles an hour at times up there around Copan, yeah.
So that your leaves are, I think it was out of the north, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, so they're down in Oglesby. So you want to. And for you people in Kansas, your leaves are in Dallas.
There you are.
It's probably really windy up there. So it's good. You can see that the structure of the branches easily at this point, and you can see broken things. And I drive around town, I'll see all kinds of broken branches on trees.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to be addressed if you want to keep your trees healthy.
You got to do that, you know. You got an ailing tree.
Yeah,
you know,
poor thing.
One thing leads to another, and
good golly,
you don't want that going on.
Yeah, you got to look up at those trees and trim out the trim back on the broken branches mm-hmm. up to the main trunk at least,
mm-hmm.
just so they can heal up a lot faster. Mm-hmm. It's a bit like having a broken arm with a bone hanging out. You know, it's going to take a long time for that to heal up.
Oh yeah,
So poor trees. But anyway, also time to prune those fruit trees. Mm-hmm. I plan on doing mine if it's don't have any if anything else to do this weekend.
Which might be rare.
There's quite a list.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I've got all went along to trim those fruit trees, but I do need to do some work on them. They look a little little distraught, if you will. So they need to trim them up somewhat. Fertilization on trees, don't worry about it right now. It's a little too early. Save that for about 2 months from now, into February. It's when time to start fertilizing your trees and so on. However, if you do have an issue with your pin oaks where you might have a pH problem, you might consider getting some iron sulfate. Some of your holly plants, if they really didn't do real well and the leaves really aren't glossy at this point, perhaps they do need a pH adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be done any time of the year, really. But it's best to do it when the trees are kind of sleeping, if you will. So,
yeah.
But anyway, so check out your holly plants. I see some in town that do have yellow leaves on them, and that's primarily caused by an iron deficiency, which isn't unusual for this part of town, for this part of the country, actually. Our young soil.
Yes.
It's only a few million years old. It really hasn't had time to really make good dirt, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of like a fine wine. It takes a while.
We have youthful dirt.
We have very young dirt, yes. So with that in mind, it's time also to maybe consider getting a landscape plan drawn up.
Oh, yeah.
A presentation yesterday, and we brought out the computer, and we were able to be interactive with the customer. Mm-hmm. There's some things they wanted to add on to the landscape plan, and we just did it right there on the spot and able to make the changes and have to go back and now and price it up and all that and give them some budgeting options on their landscape.
Sweet.
So it can be done that way, too. So very flexible as far as that's concerned. And you do actually see exactly what you're going to get on the landscape, too. So it does help.
I got to tell you, it's amazing what we can do with technology today.
And yeah, you got to grasp it, use it to your, you know, to your advantage and for the customer's advantage too. Mm-hmm. So there's no hidden secrets.
No.
Oh, I forgot. If it's right there in front of you.
Yeah, there's no reason.
You won't forget things.
Yeah.
So, and you can really realize the output, the finished product right there. Which isn't, I guess it's kind of like buying, my daughter bought a Mini Cooper online.
Oh, she did.
She could watch it in production from England. And,
wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So it's kind of the same thing.
That's neat.
But anyway. Yeah. So that's a good idea. We also do irrigation systems, and we're doing one out in the country, and he's going to have a pump installed because he got sometimes the water goes backwards through the faucet. So,
is that a common thing?
Yeah, he asked me how much pressure do I need and how many gallons per minute. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I need at least 50 PSI and at the least 14 GPMs. So he talked to his plumber and I said, you probably want to over-design a little bit because if the sprinkler's going and your bathtub is running, something's going to happen.
So your yard ain't going to be
happy. Might want to go a little bit more than that. So, anyway. So the system can be designed based on your available water. Now, there's some simple physics you need to apply when designing an irrigation system. You want to keep your pipeline velocity down to 5 feet per second and so on to work. Mm-hmm. Pipeline velocity is sort of like electricity.
But like voltage, yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of electrical engineers out there, and you can only put so many amps through a 12-gauge wire.
Yeah.
And it's sort of water kind of works the same way. You can only put in so many gallons per minute.
You can only put in what's going to
fit. I've seen these sprinkler systems. They got six sprinkler heads on there, and they're 3 gallons apiece. That's 18 gallons a minute. And max is 14 gallons a minute on a 1-inch pipe, and they're running 3/4-inch pipe.
Ooh.
And you know what that does to your electric valves.
Oh,
man, when they shut, they shut. And it rattles the house. So that's the one reason why you want to engineer it and design it properly like that. So we don't have that problem with electric valves stressing out and cracking and the rattling in the house associated with that too. So,
not good.
I say in the house right now, most of the sprinkler systems use the existing meter on the house.
Mm-hmm.
We tie into it out there at the street, get your maximum available water. And then you want to keep your your velocity down so you don't get the water hammer in the house. Mm-hmm. So be careful when you design your sprinkler system not to exceed that 5 FPS on your line.
Just a little bit of caution going in.
Yeah.
It works now you wonders
can,
for you.
You can do that by oversizing the piping, but then mm-hmm. again, there's only so much water you can get through a 3/4 inch water meter. So you gotta, it has to be tailored. So anyway.
You just can't game that system. You have to do it precisely.
So that's one thing you have to consider. It's engineering it and how to get understanding how to design it with mm-hmm. the available water pressure. So on. And then there's the customer interface. That typically is the timer.
Yes.
And there are many ways to do that. You can put the timer, golly, you can put it in a closet now, in the house somewhere if you want, or anywhere. You don't really have to access it now. You access it with these
cell phone,
things.
Yeah.
Yeah, your telephone. You can and you can stand out there in the front yard and you pull up the app and then you say, okay, I want to water circuit number 3. Hit that button, bingo, it just starts. No more of this back and forth. Trying to teach your wife or husband how to operate the timer. No, don't push that button.
No!
He got me all wet. No. You can operate it with these, and it works really quite well. Mm-hmm. We carry a line of Beehive timers, which is a very, very simple interface. Mm-hmm. And it you can even take pictures of these zones mm-hmm. and then have a little picture come up. I want to water that, regardless of the number. I want to water that. And it will. And it's a good way also to check out your system and make sure it's operating properly, mm-hmm. which should be a procedure you do follow on occasion because things do happen. Lawnmowers have a tendency to break things.
Do they and, now?
Yeah, oh, yes. And edgers do a good job of that, too. We have a rule of thumb, 2 fingers away from the concrete.
Yeah.
And my guys asked me, why do you do that? I said, when the maintenance people come in and they run their edgers, you want to have a good buffer zone between that so they don't cut a sprinkler head open.
Oh, you don't want that at all.
Yeah, and you see that quite a bit. These geysers coming up through the sky from a severed sprinkler head.
Looks cool for a second until you realize what it is, and it's, oh!
Yeah, well, it makes your front yard look like the Bellagio.
Well, it is.
Yes.
We're going to have to take a quick break. We're going to be right back in just a little bit here, right here, about 2 minutes. And you are listening to the Green Country Gardener, which is Larry, of course, here with Green Thumb Nurseries and Greenhouses right here on your favorite radio station.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And, Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses, so we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast No Water Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Did you know the Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality poinsettias? They have Christmas cactus and greenery to decorate your home for the holidays. And Green Thumb is an excellent place to shop for Christmas. They have Made in America musically tuned wind chimes and have everything for the hard-to-shop-for gardener, even gift certificates. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, open Monday through Saturday 9 to 5, noon to 5 on Sunday.
Now's the time to get your vehicle ready for winter and those holiday trips. See David or Anita Miller at ABS Performance and have your vehicle checked for antifreeze and have them check your heater too. Don't get caught out in the cold. Be safe and have ABS Performance winterize your vehicle before you leave town. Call today, 918-333-4420 for your appointment. That's ABS Performance on Price Road across from the Washington Park Mall. ABS would like to thank their customers for their loyal patronage.
Make your home stand out from the rest with a new look that Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling can give you. They're contractors that offer bathroom and kitchen remodeling, trim carpentry, custom cabinetry, and hardwood refinishers. voted best custom cabinetry of 2018 and offering veteran, firefighter, and law enforcement discounts. That's Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling. Call today for your free estimate, 918-214-6348.
Good morning. It's 8:23. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener with Larry here. And, of course, you can get a hold of us by phone if you have a question or a comment. 1-800-749-5936. It is toll-free. Lawrence, what do we have here? We were talking sprinklers and irrigation earlier.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk a little bit about poinsettias.
Oh, there you go.
Euphorbia pulcherrima.
Okay.
It's a member of the Euphorbia family,
yes,
which is really a broad spectrum. There are so many different members of the Euphorbia family that it's just a whole book just on that.
Yeah. Talk about a reunion situation.
Everything from spurge in the garden.
Spurge?
Spurge, yes. That weed that kind of grows real flat mm-hmm. on the ground. And when you break it, this white milky sap comes out.
Okay. Yeah.
That's characteristic of the Euphorbia family.
Okay.
Typically, euphorbs are from the drier climates. Mm-hmm. And they are characterized by the flower structure, which you look on a poinsettia really, really close at the flower, which is in the center of it. And you look at other members of the Euphorbia family, they share a fairly similar physiology. Mm-hmm. And the common denominator, of course, is the milky sap that runs out when the stem is broken. But latex kind of material that it actually dries up and seals off the wound rather well. So that's pretty cool stuff. But anyway, poinsettias, the color we have on the poinsettia is mm-hmm. really a modified leaf.
It is.
It's called a bract. Those are called the bracts, B-R-A-C-T-S.
Okay.
And that's what gives us our color. The flower, really, if you really want to grow poinsettias for the flower, per se, they ain't much to look at.
The physical flower itself is like,
so what?
Yeah. But those colorful leaves, by golly, that
it looks like
it apart.
That weed that crawls in the concrete of my house.
Oh, no, not that one.
But anyway, so the bracts are what we're after, and golly, the grows have had so much fun with this. There's all kinds of different colors. Red, of course, being the stock option, the good, strong red ribbon, red color of your poinsettia. That's mm-hmm. The biggest seller. And they're different leaf shapes. Now, the variegation of the leaves, there's several ways to arrive at variegation. The mm-hmm. one is a viral variegation, which is actually a leaf virus that is carried on in the genetics of the plant. Mm-hmm. Causes a defect, if you will, in it. And typically, that has a rather irregular shape to it. Another one is a genetic variation, and there's very steady genetics on the color of the leaf. So you look at the leaves, at the variegated ones, and now and then on some of the jingle bell varieties or similar ones to that, they'll have a whole section of the leaf that's white instead of just uniformly. And that's an example of the viral type of it doesn't hurt the plant anything. Mm-hmm. It just causes a genetic change in the leaf. And then the other one, that's the genetic is more steady, the more uniform shaped variegations and coloration, if you will, on the mm-hmm. leaf. So for those of you who really want to know the backdrop, and of course the colors themselves is a product of years and years and years of breeding and crossbreeding to get the exact appearance you want in the plant. Mm-hmm. You take some seeds from these plants and then you sprout them and you get some variations and hey, that looks pretty cool. Let's cross these over here again. Mm-hmm. Then you take another 100 or so of those to grow. And then out of that 100 of different variations, you get this tendency to do something on this plant too. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it's developed. It's a very complicated Gregor Mendel kind of thing. And we had some this year that were an interesting pink color.
Yeah.
And the flowers are kind of fuzzy too. Kind of fuzzy and pink. They kind of...
That's interesting how that came about.
Reminds me of Carol Channing.
Yeah, pink and fuzzy.
But anyway.
Oh, Dolly.
Yeah. But this particular one has a very close node on the stem.
Uh-huh.
So it has a very good leaf density on it. And the coloration of the leaves is extraordinarily dark as well. So it has some other attributes from which I'm sure the breeders will come along with some other varieties that share this more positive looking branching and leaf structure on that one. So all these things come about. And golly, you do a thousand different leaves, and this all of a sudden this bright pink one shows up.
There you go.
That's pretty cool. And then when you get a desirable trait, you bring in the clones.
Bring in the clones.
Bring in the clones. So, but anyway, a common denominator of the poinsettia when you bring it home is to make sure, if you do get one as a gift, to make sure that the water drains real well through it. And it's best that they get just a little bit on the dry side between water. Not extraordinarily dry, but dry to the surface of the soil in which it's planted before you water it again. And then it's good to do kind of a slow water, if you will. Take your little pitcher with a long snout on it and go in and water a little bit and come back and water a little bit more again, just to make sure that it doesn't stay in water, if you will.
Oh, I see.
Now, if you take it out of the wrap, you can put it in a saucer, provided the saucer, the plant is elevated in the saucer with perhaps some gravel or something. We do have a real big old pile of 3/8-inch gravel. If you need something, grab a handful, put it in your saucer. It don't charge too much, nothing at all, really. But anyway, that'll keep the plant elevated, and the water that does go through will evaporate in the rather dry atmosphere of the house and create somewhat of a bubble of moist air right around that plant, so it doesn't tend to dry out. When it's colder like this, 20-some degrees outside,
25.
Oh, goodness, 25 degrees. Your furnace works a little bit more, and the air that goes through it expands, and then the water is water droplets are further apart, and so the humidity goes down significantly. So that can cause some problems with your health plants, so... We have a caller?
I believe so.
Okay, put him on.
Hi, welcome. You're on the air with Green Country Gardener. Hello.
Okay, I have a poinsettia question.
Yes. All right.
And here is what it is. Last year, I got this little poinsettia in a pot. And I thought, okay, it's going to die. Well, every once in a while, I watered it, and it didn't die, but it stayed there. Now, all of a sudden, it's gone whoosh, and I have... It's grown, and there's leaves everywhere.
Right.
Will it bloom again? Do I need to repot it? I didn't think the ones you bought, like at Walmart or wherever somebody got this thing for me, would live.
Right. Yeah. Poinsettias do make a pretty good houseplant because they can recover from being underwater. That's one reason why. But they do well in the climate in the house for the most part. The stimulation of bloom is typically caused by the length of day. So you want to have a short day, about 16 to 18 hours of dark every day. That might be extreme, maybe not quite that much, maybe 14 hours or so of dark. And then it should go ahead and start blooming.
Kind of like a Christmas cactus?
Yeah, a bit like that. Christmas cactus, I find them to be more environmentally responsive, really, than light. But... which you can make them bloom by drying them out and in the fall and then watering them again when they start putting on buds. But anyway, back to the poinsettia. Yeah, it's the length of day that is the primary signal for them to go ahead and change the bract color.
Okay, but I should probably repot it since it's
definitely
taken off like that.
Yeah, it's got tight shoes, it sounds like.
Yeah, for the little pot it was in, he's completely outgrown it. Yeah. But I didn't know if it would be worth doing it. I'd never had one live. I've tried it before.
Yeah. We've had, I've had people keep them alive for years, actually. They put them out on the patio in the fall. And then when you bring them in the house, put them in an area that does not get any night light at all. And you should get some leaf color on it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, go ahead and pot it up. Use a very loose type potting soil. We have Fertilome potting soil we carry is in the red bag is very well suited for them because it does stay nice and loose. Poinsettias will not handle a really heavy soil.
Okay.
It should do just fine.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you for calling.
All right, thank you for calling. And you can call, too, at 1-800-749-5936. We're going to take a short time out. We'll be right back after this 2-minute break.
Shop these great gift ideas from Peter's True Value in Dewey. Right now, get a 17-piece steel Chicago cutlery for just $29.97. Master Mechanic 5-piece diamond tip screwdriver set is only $14.99. Master Mechanic 20-volt cordless grill impact combo kit is $99.99. And iGrill mini cooking thermometer is just $39.99. Christmas is almost here, and Peter's True Value in Dewey can help you save money with great gifting ideas at great prices. Shop Peter's True Value in Dewey and save.
Don't paint yourself in a corner. Call LPL Painting and Company, professionally painting in the Bartlesville area for 20 plus years. All finishes, all surfaces, perfection corner to corner. You'll find their portfolio online or on Facebook. LPL Painting and Company, that's LPL Painting and Company. Fully insured, offering free estimates. Just call 918-214-1999 for consult and estimate.
If you work or live in the downtown area and are experiencing difficulty at times to find a place to park, worry no more. There is downtown parking available at 2nd and Osage that's convenient to downtown businesses and apartments. For more information and monthly rates, call 336-1001. That's 336-1001.
We talk technology Saturday mornings on K1. Tune in 7:30 every Saturday morning for K1 Tech Talk with Charles Miller from NBR Electronics and Charles Mall from IT Village. If it's technology, we'll take your calls and answer your questions. Whether it's the latest version of the iPhone, streaming video or audio on your computer, or even playing it through your TV or surround system by way of satellite or cable, we'll talk about it. We'll also give you advice on keeping your computerized system operating securely and efficiently. That's K1 Tech Talk, Saturday mornings on K1.
Good morning, it's 8:34. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener, and our phone lines are open somewhat because we got a few on hold here. We'll get to you real quick. 1-800-749-5936. I'm Tom Davis, he's Larry Glass, and you are on the air. Good morning. You got a question or a comment? Go ahead.
We've got a hackberry tree, and it's budding out already.
Your hackberry tree is budding out? My goodness.
Yes.
Huh. That's really unusual.
Not only that, I noticed an elm tree out here.
Yeah. Sounds like somebody left the front door open or something. It warmed up a little bit. I wouldn't be overly concerned about that. Yeah, hackberry trees have been around a while, and this weather pattern we're having now is not unusual. So you might have a little...
Will buds freeze off?
Pardon?
Will buds freeze off, and then they'll grow back?
The buds will freeze off, and probably next spring when it comes out, there'll be some sporadic die-off on there. But it will it will grow back around that okay.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate your show.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. And if you have a question or a comment, you can call in at 1-800-749-5936. Larry.
We had 1 year when the hackberries didn't come out till May, late May.
Woo.
We had a cold snap in the spring, and it set them back real bad here. But, oh, my golly, my hackberry trees are dying. I said, well, hackberry trees have been around longer than dirt.
You know,
so they'll survive it. They did.
The berries are just taking their time coming back.
Yeah, sometimes they do that. And the elm trees are kind of the same way. And they'll grow around the damage like that. But it's really unusual for that to happen. We have had a good precipitation, and the soil moisture content is really good. Unfortunately, the trees don't have IQ enough to stop blooming in the middle of the winter. So they all, well, it's warm. Well, let's go. It's warm.
Hey, why not?
So anyway, poinsettias, when you bring them home and you do plan on keeping it a long time, you might consider giving it a little bit of fertilizer over time, too.
Okay.
They like a very broad-spectrum fertilizer. I say broad-spectrum. On the back of the container, mm-hmm. they'll have your nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. And all kinds of other stuff, all these little bitty letters behind it. And those are trace elements.
They are, okay.
Now, when we were growing poinsettias, we had a problem now and then with the magnesium deficiency. So we had to do a little bit of supplemental stuff there to get those growing. So to keep them well fertilized, use a weak fertilization on the milk will grow. I think it's a teaspoon to the gallon or so, mm-hmm. as a maintenance type of fertilizer, if you will. And it's also important not to let the fertilizer salts build up. So if you're going to leave it in the house a long period of time, the metabolism, if you will, of the plant is rather slow, and you get fertilizer salts building up into the plant too. So as long as the plant is not really subjected to a lot of continuous water flow through in the pot, in other words, the salts of the fertilizer will stay in there. And mm-hmm. also the water now and then. The water's a lot better than it was. I don't see a lot of incrustations around the pot but so on people's plants now. Then we used, after we put the new water plant in, it helped the water quality an awful lot.
I bet it did.
And yeah, so we don't get so much of that now. But anyway, you want to watch on the inside of the container mm-hmm. some cloudy white incrustations forming on there. And that means you've got a lot of mineral buildup in the soil, and mm-hmm. you need to leech the plant.
Leech it.
Sounds like some ancient medical thing.
It does. Sounds like Theodoric of York, medieval barber.
Basically, it's watering the plant and letting the water run through several times.
Gotcha.
To cleanse the soil of the mineral buildup. Mm-hmm. Now, you know you have a mineral buildup in the soil of your poinsettias when the leaves start to drop off or the edges turn brown. You get mm-hmm. these brown edges on the leaves. That's an indication of that. It could also be an indication of excessive moisture and loss of the root system. So, in other words, when you do water your poinsettias and you leave them in a saucer or in the wrap or something, mm-hmm. the minerals in the water stay in there and they build up over time. That's one reason why I say, okay, take it out of the wrap and let it drain through in a saucer with some gravel. And that way the gravel will accumulate all the salty mineral buildup.
All that stuff. They can have it.
Because it leaches through every time you water.
Good.
So anyway.
Good remedy.
So bring them in the house. Keep them away from the heat registers, heat ducts, and so on. And don't worry about the cat. It won't kill the cat when it eats your plant. It'll take a whole bushel basket full of poinsettia leaves to cause a little problem. They're not poison.
No.
So they're all right as far as that's concerned.
And cats just nibble anyway.
Yeah. And won't hurt the dog either. The parakeet, I don't know.
He's on his own.
I don't think it can land on one anyway. So anyway, they do like a great deal of light. So if you do have it, say, on the coffee table away from the light, it will suffer from light deprivation, if you will. Yeah. So you want to put it in the window occasionally to let it sun for a while.
Get that photosynthesis.
Let that solar energy, the photosynthesis, let it soak up some solar energy and rebuild its stalks. And then you can move it back and forth. So that's kind of it on poinsettias.
There you go.
You enjoy them. They make really good house plants. They make really good patio plants in the summertime. Mm-hmm. You will want to pot it up in a heavier pot when you bring it outside, just because when we get our 70, 80 mile an hour winds,
things happen.
It doesn't wind up in Oglesby.
8:41, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after this 2-minute timeout.
Did you know the Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality poinsettias? They have Christmas cactus and greenery to decorate your home for the holidays. And Green Thumb is an excellent place to shop for Christmas. They have Made in America musically tuned wind chimes and have everything for the hard-to-shop-for gardener, even gift certificates. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Knowwater Road, open Monday through Saturday 9 to 5, noon to 5 on Sunday.
Hi, this is Brian Ballard with Roman Chevrolet Buick in beautiful Independence, Kansas.
We have a fantastic selection of new and used vehicles, including GM certified. Just head north and watch your prices go south at Roman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas. At Roman Chevrolet Buick, you do not have to pay extra taxes. You only pay in Oklahoma where you live. We will treat you the way you want to be treated at Roman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas, where we're making car buying fun again. You can reach us at 620-331-4700 or 24/7 online at romansgm.com.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overlees Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Leftovers should be left in the fridge till you're ready to eat them.
Could you pass the info, please?
Information should be served fresh.
Oh, thanks.
And that's what we give you weekday mornings on the K1 Morning News.
We're going to get all the facts and all the information
from the beginning,
top to bottom,
24/7.
All the news.
Because I know a lot of people are asking.
The K1 Morning News, weekday mornings 6 to 10.
A treasure chest of information.
On K1, the one you trust. Good morning, Rise and Shine. It is 8:43, 28 degrees, a bit of sunshine, and you're listening to the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass and yours truly, Tom. And our toll-free number is 1-800-749-5936. We just wrapped up poinsettias. What are we on to next, Professor?
Well, we talked about trees and shrubs and stuff to do in the garden right now.
Yeah.
And time to plan your landscape, irrigation systems, poinsettias now. Tree of the week is the flowering dogwood.
There you go.
Flowering dogwood grows up to 30 feet tall in its native habitat. I know I have one in my backyard. Poor thing.
Aww.
When I moved into the house, somebody planted it like 2 feet from the house.
Ooh. Ouch.
On the west side of the house.
Ah.
Poor thing. It just sitting there. Help me. Help me. So I dug that dude up and put it on the east side of the house.
Flourishes now.
Yeah. And then subsequently I planted a water oak. This is a while back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, it was a dumpster dive plant, poor thing. It was
you just had to help it.
Yeah, I had to plant that thing. And now it's got a trunk that's as big around as my torso, if not bigger than that. And when the winds were howling, it was just back and forth.
Dancing around,
yeah,
huh?
And all the
doing the hula. Kind
of, but anyway, this dogwood has grown up, and it's done very well. Unfortunately, all the flowers are up there. So when it blooms, I have to get up on the roof of the house to see
them because they're way up there, 30 feet in the air.
But anyway, the dogwood tree does like not really full hot sun. However, it will adapt to that if you plant it at the right time of the year. That is in the fall, wintertime, you plant one. The root system can grow out where it can tolerate some of that. Anticipate some rather scorchy looking leaves the first few years, but it will adapt to that okay as it develops the root system. It does like, it is a moderate to slow grower, and it's somewhat picky as to where it's planted. Prefers well-drained soil with little or no clay content.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't like the clay.
No.
So my dogwood tree, I hardly ever water it. It's got to be over there screaming at me, please, before I water it. And then it does just fine. So yeah. I like to let it dry out a little between waterings. And it's been there so long, the bark on it is starting to develop that... It almost looks like a, what's the name of that native plant? I can't think. Anyway, it has a very deeply fissured bark on it.
Okay.
And it's grown and developed rather nicely. These grow irregular, so don't anticipate getting a really straight tree at the nursery because they just don't grow that way.
They do what they can do.
Right. The growers do a very good job of starting with the whips and attaching them to a bamboo pole so they do grow straight. A lot of people seem to think you have to have a straight tree before you plant it, but red buds and dogwoods and pin oaks just don't grow straight to begin with. They straighten up over time.
Yeah. They got to do what they got to do in order to.
They
got to
do what they got to do. They sell better if they have a straight trunk. So anyway, if it's a little bit crooked, don't worry. It's just the way they grow. The common denominator on them is good soil and good drainage. They do not like poor drainage. Pests include borers. They eat them up sometimes. And leaf anthracnose, stem anthracnose is a problem. And, of course, leaf spot fungus.
Fungus.
So, important thing is in an area that's partly shaded, I almost said sunny, which is shady and sunny.
You know, it might have sounded funny coming out, but it works. Yeah, well, yeah, but, I mean, it's a workable word.
Sunny and
shady,
part sun and part shade.
Yeah.
It's and then sunny, yeah. And then that's a new word. So it doesn't get really a whole lot of midday direct sunshine. It should do just fine.
Very good.
And when you do plant it, if you do have heavy soil, you might want to mound it up slightly so it can adapt to that. It will develop a shallow root system in a heavy soil, so make sure not to disturb the area around it too much. keep it away from sidewalks and driveways and stuff. It should do just fine. Mm-hmm. So anyway, they bloom once a year in the spring. And there are all kinds of color variations in the dogwood. Anything from a red blooming flower to the pink ones. The pinks are very popular. But for some odd reason, the pink ones have a high susceptibility to stem anthracnose. So you want to make sure it does drain well and has good air drainage for them to do well also. And to the white, to the standard white dogwoods. There are other parallels to the dogwood. The Korean dogwood is probably better suited for our climate here. It does tolerate the conditions, our sunshine conditions real well, and our soil real well due to its more tolerance of fungal problems and so on. So the good trees have, keep them healthy. They should do just fine. I don't have any borer problems with mine. Don't have any anthracnose problems, nothing like that. And I really just basically do nothing to it.
Just let it grow, man.
It's going to live off the land.
Live off the land.
And it does just fine. Gives me a little bit of shade on the in front of the shed, too. So
there you go.
When I have to work on the lawnmower, occasionally it does make it a little easier in the hot summer.
Oh, man.
Okay, that leads us up to Shrub of the Week, which is another spring bloomer, a very popular one, and that is forsythia. I was at a house last week looking at somebody's landscape, and there was a great big forsythia bush. And I said, I bet that makes a good show for the spring. He said, it sure does. But anyway, very intense yellow flower show in the early spring if you don't have a freaky freeze, which that's becoming less of a freak and more of a common occurrence. Right? They're easy to grow just about anywhere. Forsythia are not very. I've seen them growing next to ponds in the muck. I've seen them growing in dry areas. They are very tolerant to different soil conditions. The important thing is to give it plenty of room to grow. It does well at the back fence somewhere. Don't put it up close to the house because you won't be able to find the house after a while. Be prepared to let them get fairly large. When you do cut them back, forsythia. Cut them back directly after they bloom in the spring.
Oh, there you go. That'd be good. Mm-hmm. Right now, I think we do have a call. Let's go ahead to the phones here. And good morning. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is your weird call for the day for the gardening show. Yes. After I took my garden down and dug up everything out there, I got to looking at the shelves of my little in my garage and found a bunch of half-empty sacks of things, and I thought, I've got blood meal, potash crystals, happy frog, ironite. Would it be okay just to sprinkle that stuff around in the dug-up soil of the garden and dig it in now, or should I wait?
Well, if you do, some of those items you mentioned of the ironite, for instance, gives you some elemental iron. It's also somewhat of a pH adjuster.
Okay.
So if your soil's a little bit alkaline, it takes a while for that reaction to occur. So this would be a pretty good time for that to happen.
And What about the happy frog? Is that something I can dig in now?
Happy frog, you can dig it in now. You'll reap more benefits, I think, if you wait till February, March to do that slightly before you plant.
I'll certainly do that. All right. Well, and the blood meal, can I dig that in now?
Yeah, definitely now. Blood meal is a... makes a pretty good source of iron available to the plants pretty much immediately. It also makes a good rodent repellent. Rabbits.
Does it. Great. All right. Little bunny rabbits. I appreciate the help on that. It'll help me clear off some of those shelves. I can come out there and buy some stuff now.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for calling.
All right. It's 8:52. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right here on the Green Country Garden. It is 8:51, back after this two-minute timeout.
Back in the early 1930s, Frank and Jane Phillips hosted a wonderful party at their lodge home at Willow Rock. For this special party, Frank hired the world-famous magician Harry Blackstone to provide the entertainment for the large crowd. Throughout the evening, Blackstone amazed the guests with his card tricks and sleight of hand, with the crowd applauding and laughing as the tricks got better and better. Finally, Blackstone asked Jane Phillips to step forward. He reached into his coat and removed a new deck of cards and dramatically unwrapped them, removed the cards from the deck, and shuffled them several times. He then asked Mrs. Phillips to cut the cards, which she did, pulling the Queen of Spades, which she showed to the crowd. She put the card back into the deck, and Blackstone carefully shuffled the cards two or three times, then suddenly spun around and threw the entire deck of cards into the wall of the lodge, just to the left of the front door. 51 cards fell to the floor, and the Queen of Spades stuck on the wall, where it still remains today. A perfect example of the magic of Willow Rock. Come see it for yourself, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
Listen to K1 anywhere
and with Amazon Echo.
Alexa, tune to KWON Bartlesville.
Getting station KWON.
One more way to enjoy your favorite station. K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
Start your weekdays with K1 Morning News.
Today is gonna be a good day.
I'm Tom Davis, and I'll have your news. Bill Weaver has your weather.
We had a record low this day.
Sports with Evan Farbach.
Bartlesville High, Berlin football.
Don't forget, there's plenty of entertainment and chances for you to win great prizes, too. Weekday mornings.
Good day!
On K1, the one you trust.
I'm Dave Hunziker, and you've got the Bruins, Cardinals, Cowboys, and more on K1, AM 1400, and FM 93.3.
All righty, and we're back with the show. It is 8:54, 6 minutes ahead of news time. And, Larry, where are we now here? We talked about
dogwoods,
yeah,
and forsythia plants.
Mm-hmm.
Continue on forsythia, yeah, a little bit. Don't anticipate the forsythia lasting a very long period of time.
Don't. Just don't get your heart set on it.
Well, they just seem to have somewhat of a lifespan. You, yeah, probably get 10, 15 years out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they grow in this sort of an arched pattern. In other words, the branches come up and they get real long and then they arch down and they sort of touch the ground a lot of times.
Oh.
What happens when they touch the ground like that is it roots into the ground.
I see. It starts walking on you.
Uh-huh. And then it makes another big forsythia plant. And they arch out again, and the branches touch the ground. First thing you know it, we're covered in forsythias all over town.
Feed me, Seymour.
But anyway, we do a lot of pruning to prevent that from happening. So that's kind of an adaptive strategy on the part of the plant to keep it going because of its somewhat short lifespan, it's susceptibility to stem anthracnose.
Mm-hmm.
And it does that, I guess, as an adaptive strategy. Mm-hmm. I've trimmed these up in weeping form, too, which is kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
You keep some branches that are fairly sturdy, and then you cut the uprights, and anything that's falling over, very quickly you can make a cousin it plant in front of your house. or an inverted mop.
Oh, there you go.
These Hollywood props, you know.
Just sure.
It's just a mop. But anyway, and that's kind of what it looks like. Makes a really nice weeping plant when it's not in bloom.
Mm-hmm.
The forsythia tends to be somewhat sprangly and ugly when it is not in bloom. And you can overcome that lack of appearance by training it into a weeping habit, if you will. And it's kind of nice. So.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's kind of it with that. Fertilizing it. Don't worry about it. Watering it, well, don't worry about it.
It does well it on Independence goes, it Day, kind of, doesn't
yeah, it? It thrives on the kind of a plant. So it does. I think they do better out in the wild than they do in people's gardens, to tell you the truth. So anyway, houseplants, what to do now? Winter is a slow time for houseplants. Don't try to encourage a lot of growth on them. So they should do just fine. I water mine with the ice cubes.
With ice cubes?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay.
You take the scoop and go into the ice maker and mm-hmm. give it some ice once a week. It's dehydrated water.
Oh, yeah.
and it slowly seeps into the plant that way. So
that you don't overwater.
Yeah, you don't have a tendency to overwater. So you can't do that with every plant, though.
No.
Some of them might not like that. But Scheffler is what this plant is. Mm-hmm. does rather well with watering it with ice cubes. That's one way to do it. I tell people, I have a hard time getting water out to my plant. Well, just fill up the pitcher with ice out of the refrigerator and just put it on the plant, and it'll slowly seep in. It works rather well.
Mm-hmm.
Not as messy, too. So some people, I don't want to get it on my hardwood floors, all this water. Oh, my goodness, what do I do? Use ice cubes. And you can place them around so they don't touch the stem.
Yeah.
And they'll slowly melt into the soil. You won't have this problem with runout. So, pretty cool idea.
Ice.
But anyway, house plants, don't expect them to bloom a lot, really. We have a fairly short daylight out there.
Mm-hmm.
I know that when it's time to quit, the sun's, you know, up in the air. By the time you get home, it's gone.
Oh, yeah.
It goes down real quick right this time of year. So the day's a little bit shorter, so you can't expect a lot of growth on your house plants at this point in time, especially not a lot of blooms. So that's, and also, as it gets cooler, I guess it will get cool sometime this winter. They were predicting a mild winter, and I mm-hmm. think that's holding true so far. Your furnace works kind of hard, and the humidity goes down. Mm-hmm. So you have to watch your plants, not let them get too let the air get too dry around them. So that's kind of it with the houseplants also. As far as what's going on at the nursery, golly, we've got all kinds of stuff going on. Wind chimes, got plenty of those. The poinsettias, they're just sailing out the front door.
We
sold a lot of them. We do have a supplemental shipment of new ones coming in this week, so you get some really nice, fresh-looking plants. Not the old, tired-out-looking ones you see in some places, but anyway.
Yeah.
So
those guys.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, so we keep them fresh. They're living in a big old professional greenhouse and with all the necessary environmental controls to keep them mm-hmm. healthy. And look at the flowers on them. Make sure that the flowers are not overly matured on the poinsettias. We also have a Christmas cactus,
mm-hmm.
which are starting to bloom out really nice right now. And Christmas cactus is not a true cactus. It just looks like one. So you don't want to let them get too dry. We have a caller?
Hi, caller. We have about 30 seconds. What is your question?
Yes, what do I do with my 2-year-old leggy hydrangea? Can I cut it back now? It only got 3 blooms on it. It was 2 years old.
Yeah, this was a bad, last winter was a bad one for hydrangeas, so we didn't get very much bloom on it. Traditionally, we don't cut them back until summertime mm-hmm. or late spring, so just leave it alone right now at this point.
So you ought to be pretty good.
Be pretty good shape. Give it some good water throughout the winter. It should do okay.
All right, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. We really are up against the clock. Thank you very much.
Keep your shovel sharp. See you next week.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.